So we went to, I had one day where it was just like slogging through quicksand. I mean, it was like, oh my gosh, we were just battling this stuff all day long. And was it that night? I think it was that night. That night we went to pray at a church, and we just had not encountered very much resistance at all. It was wonderful. You get to this church, and all of a sudden it's like you hit a brick wall, man. Like the first three people I prayed for, I'm like, you know, are you experiencing anything? Nope. I'm like, nothing. Nothing. I got nothing. Like, no warmth, no pain still there. I am not healed. And I'm like, the first lady who did that, and I'm like, wow, this is the first time on this trip that I've encountered that, but not, like, we were just flying along. Encountered that, she had nothing. So I'm like, well, okay, well, God bless you, Grandma. Go sit down, because you're bumming me out. No, I didn't say that. I was like, I will keep praying for you, and I did. So the next guy came up, and he's telling us, he had something that was not measurable. He had a disease in his blood. And that, how do you measure healing on that? Except did the Holy Spirit manifest in some way, like heat, warmth, electric, cold, peace, whatever. And so I'm praying for him, and he came to me like this. And so I'm praying, you know, I'm, thank you, Holy Spirit. I release healing in the name of Jesus, whatever else the Holy Spirit told me to pray. And I'm like, did you experience anything in your body? Like, anything at all? Nope. I'm like, anything at all? Like, one little, a tickle, any, nope, nothing. Okay. So, let's pray again. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I know you're here. I invite you to release healing. And he was like this. And as I was praying, he would stand up like this. And I'm like, dude, Holy Spirit's doing something. And then I get down, and I'm like, did you experience anything? Nope, nothing. So prayed for him three times. Prayed for the next person a couple of times. They got nothing. And then Kevin, who was in another part of the building, sensed that, you know, we were running into a lot of interference. And so he started praying against that. And as it was just like, as he did that, the next person came out just dramatically healed. And then the next person, and then the next person. And I had been like, well, I guess God's not going to heal them. But the truth is, God wanted to heal them, but he needed us to break through. And so I want to encourage you that as you're praying for healing for someone, don't just assume it's because you suck. Do you hear me? Don't just assume it's because you're no good at it or God doesn't want to heal them. Check the air. Check the atmosphere and see, you know, if maybe you need to start doing a little warfare before you step back into healing, right? So that night, I had two people have their vision restored once we had breakthrough. It was amazing. And one guy, I'm just going to show this one guy because he just makes me happier when I think about it. So, Kevin had been praying for the crowd, and the team just went, you know, I just released Holy Spirit, and he just, because there's so many, and you want everyone to receive a touch, and so I just bless you, I just released Holy Spirit, I just bless you. And I came to this one guy, and his mother grabs me, which is always pleasant, and, you know, she's like, my son, his eyes, and so I figure, okay, he needs healing for his eyes, so I just blessed his eyes, and then I, you know, kept going. And, as we're praying, the last woman that came up for prayer, her name was Augustina, and she was losing vision in her right side. No, she had lost vision on her right side, and she's losing vision on her left side. And so I won't tell you the whole story, but prayed for her. She felt she was overwhelmed by the Holy Spirit. She went down the Holy Spirit. She was laying there like dead. Like, we're like, how you doing? No answer. And so we're like, we'll just leave her there. And the whole time we're praying for her, I'm thinking of this guy over here because he was like a young guy. You know what I mean? Well, not like him. He was a young guy. And I could tell he was one of those guys where his mom drug him to the service. You ever see someone like that, that they're there on protest, they don't want to go? And I could tell this guy, you know, as I stopped to pray for him, and his eyes were closed, but you know how people can roll their eyes even though their eyes are closed? All right, so he did. So I'm like, you know what, come on, Sarah, let's go check this guy. And we went over there, and I said, she was my interpreter. I said, hey, did you receive healing? because he's just sitting there like this. He's like, no. And, oh, when I came over, he stood up. And I said, hey, did you receive healing? No. I'm like, did you go forward for healing? And he got all red in his face. He's like, no. And I'm like, well, do you want to be healed? And he's like, yeah, I want to be healed. I said, well, you didn't go forward, so I wasn't sure. Right? Because healing requires a submission. And faith is asking. Right? He said, no, 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 you're right. I should have gone forward. I want to be healed. And so we started praying for him. And I mean, it was like instantaneous. We started praying for him. And he just started laughing. All this resistance was gone. And he just started laughing and laughing. And I'm like, what do you feel? He's like, I feel something inside of me is just rolling over and over. And I'm like, well, open your eyes. And I'm like, how many fingers? Four. How many fingers? Three. And I'm like, so is your sight improved? He's like, I don't know. I can't find myself because this thing is just all over me and I'm so happy. And he was just laughing and laughing. His mom started crying and crying. And I just want to encourage you. You know, my night started out slow. Right? Three people, nothing. And it ended big. With the last two people I prayed for having their vision restored. And so God, it's his heart to release healing. Sometimes it's not as easy as it should be. But just persevere. So I'm going to read out of Luke 9. Yeah, Luke 9. I've got my portable Bible here. This is not nearly as heavy as my Bible I read at home. And this is a story that we've heard many, many times. I've preached on it many, many times. It's one of my favorite passages. When the apostles returned, they reported to Jesus what they had done, and he took them with him, and they withdrew by themselves to a town called Bethsaida. But the crowds learned about it and followed him. He welcomed them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who needed healing. I just want to point out, he didn't say, you guys need to leave us alone. I'll get back to you in a moment, but I want to withdraw. He didn't say that. He welcomed them. And he healed those who needed healing. Late in the afternoon, the 12 came to him and said, send the crowd away so they can go to the surrounding villages and countryside and find food and lodging, because we are here in a remote place. He replied to them, you give them something to eat. They answered, we have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, unless we go and buy food for all this crowd. About 5,000 men were there. But he said to his disciples, have them sit down in groups of about 50 each. The disciples did so, and everyone sat down. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke them. Then he gave them to the disciples to distribute. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. Now, I know I've preached on this before. Who's heard me preach on this? All right, 2 people. Good. The rest of you, this will be brand new. I love this story because in this story, it exhibits God's heart so clearly. He's taking his disciples off to a secluded place. First off, because they're tired. They've been out doing ministry. He's constantly doing ministry. He was a human man. Fully God, fully human. Well, humans get tired. And yet, when the crowds followed him, he didn't get irritated. Personally, I would be irritated. Can I be honest? I know every other pastor in town would not be irritated, but I would be irritated. So, I would be irritated. Because I'd be like, dude, let us rest. We'll get you tomorrow. But instead, he welcomed them, and he healed all who needed healing. And having just come back from doing a ministry trip, I can tell you that will train you. But this is the heart of God. And so his disciples, who are also compassionate men, say, Lord, we need to send them away. I'm sure that wasn't selfish on their part. Like, we would like some time to... I'm sure that wasn't it. I'm sure it was, oh, they're hungry. Let's have compassion for them. And so he says to them, you give them something to eat. You know, sometimes we read that and we're like, oh, Jesus being kind of sarcastic to them. Like, you think? No, he wasn't. Have you ever thought that? Are you guys awake? Okay, thank you. Head nod once in a while will keep me talking. When you're ready for me to stop, quit nodding. Okay. So he was actually setting an expectation. He was expressing his expectation that they should be able to feed these people. And we know that it was more than 5,000, right? It was 5,000 men. Well, guess what? Men traveled with their wife and children. And so he says to them, you give them something. And their response is, that was in my other Bible. Their response is, Lord, we only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. We don't have enough money to buy food for all this crowd. I mean, they looked immediately at what they didn't have, right? We don't have 5,000 loaves of bread or 5,000 fish or enough money to go to McDonald's. And Jesus recognizes not their lack of faith, but their lack of understanding. And so he does something that's amazing. Every teacher, when Jesus said, go and make disciples, he's talking about this right here. You know what he did? He modeled for them how to do what he expected them to do. And so many times we think that God wants us to do something impossible, and he like throws us out there and then stands back and waits for us to fall back. And yet when we look at Jesus, who was the very revelation of God, he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He was the revelation of God, how we should see the Father. And he says, oh, you don't know how? Let me show you. And the first thing he did was he took what he had and he gave thanks for it. He gave thanks for what he had. He didn't look at what he didn't have. He gave thanks for what he had. Now, then he passed out the food. Have you ever wondered what that looked like? Have you ever wondered what it looked like that, you know, he had to give them stuff to pass out? This is what I think it probably looked like. Like, here's 2 fish in this basket, here's 5 loaves in this basket, and he reaches down and he gives the first guy a fish. Let's say Peter was the first guy because he was usually first. So he gives Peter a fish, and then he gives the next guy, Peter's brother Andrew, a loaf of bread. Well, they're good to go because they knew that that was coming, right? Then he picks up a fish, and he gives it to John, and then he gets a loaf of bread, and he gives it to James. They're doing good. They knew they were covered. Then the next guy, oh, I don't know, Thomas. They only had 2 fish. Those are gone. He reaches into the basket, and he gives Thomas a fish. And then he gives the next guy a loaf. And he does that. Now, he's showing them this is what they should look like. Just keep reaching in and the Father. So he doesn't send them out to feed without first establishing this law of increase. Does that make sense to you? So now their faith is a little bit, right? Their faith is, you know, you ever have faith for a headache but not for the blind? Anybody besides me, like, oh, a headache, I got that, right? But then when someone's like, I can't see, you're like, Kevin. Anybody do that besides me? I mean, come on. Let's admit it. So, Jesus created the anticipation by setting an expectation. Then he gave thanks for what he had, and then he gave away what he had with expectation. Oh, you need to see that food can increase. Watch this. Here you go. Here you go. Here you go. Here you go. See, our God's a good God. When he's asked you to do something and you feel like you can't do it, you need to look back and say, what is he doing before? Because now these guys have to go with one fish to a group of 50 people. And see, in the Hebrew tradition, they don't like break up little tiny piece here, little tiny. No, when they serve you, you get the whole fish, eyeballs, and everything. So it's good. Not the eyeball part, although I will tell Tanya, Julian ate eyeball, fish eyeballs in Colombia. Anyway, so not to get distracted, but. So now they've seen increase, but here's the thing. They have to act on what they've seen. See, there's still risk. Faith is not having any doubt. That's not... I have tons of faith, but I still have doubt. If you think that faith is denying your humanity... No, I have faith, I have faith, I have faith, I have faith. Like, I'm sorry. That's not how it works for me. And frankly, that's not how I see it working in the Bible. Remember all those guys in the boat? Only one guy said, Lord, call me out if it's you. He got out and then he looked around and he had doubt. Because they were human. Jesus didn't condemn them because of their humanity. He just continued to give them opportunities to get out of the boat. Are you with me? And so now he says, oh, you don't know how this works? Let me show you. Here's the law of increase in action. Now, go and increase. Now, those guys had a choice. They could go and say, okay, 50 guys, I got one fish. Well, I'll just, here's a fish. Here's another fish. How many of you know that every fish they gave away, their faith skyrocketed? But that wouldn't have happened if they had stood by Jesus and said, Lord, we think you better go do this for the rest of the crowd. Right? I preached on the law of increase with the law of multiplication so many times, I feel like. I just talked to the Christian athletes at school. Gave them the same lesson. And like you guys, they were very excited about it. They thought that was pretty cool. Anytime, I've probably said this a million times last week, because I would pray for someone and I would say, thank you, Holy Spirit, just invite your healing. I would speak whatever the condition was, pain in the shoulder. And I would say, I just release healing and hand off my belief. And I would do something like that. I don't know, depended on whatever God told me to do. And I'd say, how's your pain? And they'd say, well, it was a 10, but now it's a 5. And I would give this lesson that you all should know by heart by now. And that is, whenever we give thanks to God for something good, it increases. We don't focus on the fact that the pain's still at a 5. We focus on the fact that we just got 50% healed. Right? And so I would tell them, just start thanking God now for the 50%. And they would start thanking God, and I'd say, thank you, Lord, I know healing's here. I just invite it to increase. And how's your pain now? Oh, it's a 3, or oh, it's a 0. Or always, always, always I saw the healing increase when there was real thanksgiving in my heart. Please learn this lesson. Stop looking at what you don't have. Start giving thanks for what you do have. Every good thing you give thanks for increases. Every time we start complaining or we start focusing on the negative, guess who we're coming into partnership with? Not God. So
So Jesus looked at this little bit of good, and the first thing he did was give thanks. Because thanks activates increase. And so, he gave thanks. How many of you think that when Peter cast out his first fish and found a second fish, he said, thank you? Right? That when we're doing that, we are partnering with heaven. We are partnering with God. We are recognizing God and giving him thanks. And he just wants to give you more. You know, I have 5 grandkids. Well, I have 7. 2 are in another state. But I have 5 right here. Let me tell you something. They play me like a fiddle. They know the law of increase in our family. Here, Tessa, here's $5 for sweeping the patio. Thank you, sis. Nana really appreciates that you did that. Oh, thank you, Nana. Thank you so much for this $5. I appreciate it. You didn't have to pay me. Try to give it back, right? You didn't have to, but thank you so much. Oh, Tessa, that's okay. And you know what? You picked up dog food, too. So here's another 5. Right? And, I mean, she just knows how to get increase is by Thanksgiving. Who heard that? Wait. Oh, gosh. 3 of them heard it. Oh, no. Oh, no. In the same way, if we know how to bless our children, how much more does God want to bless us with good things? The disciples partnered in faith with Jesus by going out. Even though, I don't know about you, if I had one fish to feed 50 people, let alone a couple thousand, I may have hesitated from going out. The Lord's really convicting me this morning as I'm giving this message because how many of you know I pray to win the lottery all the time? Jesus, please, I'll support every missionary I meet. You just give me the money. So, as he was downloading this message, at the end of it, I wrote this. I actually wrote it. I'll write it. I'll read it. We always want to have it all before we're willing to obey. We always want to have the checking account full before we write the check. Right? I can't tell you how many things I have not done because I did not see the end at the beginning. Just went on. And I cannot tell you the things that I have done even though I couldn't see the end. Faith is saying yes before we see a mountain of fish. This is faith. God is so good to prepare us for what he's inviting us to partner with, but he still leaves an element of risk in order to see increase in our faith. I'm going to say that again. God never gives us a sure thing. And there's a reason for that. He wants to see our faith. There's no increase in faith without risk. How can you step out with one fish? Because we start seeing, I know what he's done before. I know what he's done before. The power of testimony builds our faith. A lot of times I'll say to myself, I saw them do it and I have as much faith as them, right? If God would do it for them, he will do it for me. Right? Not in a bad way. But we need to encourage each other. We need to run this race. And we need to do it before we're given the prize. Like, what kind of race is it if you walk up to a runner and say, here's first prize, and they haven't even shot the gun yet? Like, there's no sense of being in it. God wants us in this race. He died that we can partner with him.
He came to remove every barrier from us, taking his hand and moving forward. Don't you know that God could heal every person in this world? With a blink of an eye, he could heal every person in this world. But he has withheld his desire to see that happen, waiting for us to come alongside, take his hand, and release what he wants released in this world. And when we don't, he's disappointed. I got to tell you something. When we don't, when we stand at the end of days and realize the opportunities that we missed, there will be no one more disappointed than us. And there will be no chance to repent. Everybody hates that saying. What time is it? Okay. Everybody hates that saying, YOLO, right?
I hate YOLO.
I've heard that so many times. And it's like, well, you only die once, but you live forever. I know that. Hear me in this. You only get one life to heal. One life to raise the dead. There are no dead people in heaven. You don't wait till you get to heaven to think, oh, when I get to heaven, I'll be such in God's presence. I'll be able to heal, raise the dead. It will be too late. There's no sick people in heaven to heal. There are no lost people in heaven to evangelize. And you don't get to go to hell and get them out. You have one life, one time only, to do what you were created to do what God is waiting for you to do, to run with him, to walk on water with him, to feed multitudes that are starving for him. Yes, it's a risk. Kevin took some of the biggest risks he's taken in his walk with Jesus this week. He'll tell you about him when he preaches next to you. He took big risks. Our faith becomes, that's the word, stagnant, not dynamic, if we are not going further and further and further through it. Do you understand that? Then you're just doing things, what's the phrase? You're just doing them because you've always done them. Going through the motions. Guess what? You're either headed toward Jesus or you're headed back. There's no such thing as orbiting Jesus. There's no such thing as status quo. In the kingdom, there's always change. And so you have to ask yourself, which dynamic am I fulfilling? Am I heading further and further and deeper and higher in the kingdom? Or am I drifting away? Your direction is by choice only. There's no gravitational pull. It's not like Jesus is a big magnet pulling you to him. He sent out a call, but it is on us to respond. It's on us. I'm so excited for this today because our whole nation will sit down one day and give thanks to God. Even those that don't even know God will be thankful on purpose. I am praying that we see an increase of his goodness in this nation because of this. I invite you to be purposeful in what you give thanks for this year. Look at what he's blessed you with as a man, as a woman, as his child. And then take what you recognize he's given you, that one fish, maybe that one loaf of bread, but you know, whatever that thing is, the desire to heal, the desire for people to know his love, the desire for people to be in relationship with him.
to be encouraged. Whatever that thing is that you recognize in you, that He's given you, that's unique to you, take a risk and share it with someone who's starving for it.